Our gospel this morning is found in the gospel according to Luke, chapter 11, verses 5 through 13, and chapter 18, verses 9 through 14. Then Jesus said to them, "Suppose you have a friend, and you go to him at midnight and say, 'Friend, lend me 3 loaves of bread. A friend of mine on a journey has come to me, and I have no food to offer him.' And suppose the one inside answers, 'Do not bother me. The door is already locked, and my children and I are in bed. I can't get up and give you anything.' I tell you, even though he will not get up and give you the bread because of friendship, yet because of your shameless audacity, he will surely get up and give you as much as you need. So I say to you, ask and it will be given to you. Seek and you will find. Knock and the door will be opened to you. For everyone who asks receives. The one who seeks finds. And the one who knocks, the door will be opened. Which of you fathers, if your son asks for a fish, will give him a snake instead? Or if he asks for an egg, will give him a scorpion? If you then, though you are evil, know how to give good gifts to your children, how much more will your Father in heaven give the Holy Spirit to those who ask him? To some who are confident of their own righteousness and looked down on everyone else, Jesus told this parable. 2 men went up to the temple to pray, one a Pharisee and the other a tax collector. The Pharisee stood by himself and prayed, 'God, I thank you that I am not like other people, robbers, evildoers, adulterers, or even like this tax collector. I fast twice a week and give a tenth of all I get.' But the tax collector stood at a distance. He would not even look up to heaven, but beat his breast and said, 'God, have mercy on me, a sinner. I tell you that this man, rather than the other, went home justified before God. For all those who exalt themselves will be humbled, and those who humble themselves will be exalted." The Gospel of the Lord. So, this morning, we're going to be beginning a new series of messages. And this series of messages is actually, in some ways, related to a pretty big celebration this year. So, Michelle, if you could go one further. This October, we're going to be celebrating the 500th anniversary of the very beginning of the Reformation, at least what today scholars think of as the Protestant Reformation. Although, there were people living a long time before Martin Luther nailed the 95 Theses on the church door in Wittenberg that were calling for reform. Martin Luther is the one that really got the ball rolling in the 16th century. And so we're going to be celebrating that. But instead of talking about Martin Luther as just a historical figure and giving you some history lessons, what I want to do is take a look at this book a little bit. Martin Luther is probably best known for the Catechism he wrote in 1529. The Catechism contains Luther's questions and answers as the head of the home was to teach them to his children. This was supposed to be basic stuff. And what it does is it takes several things that people knew already, but maybe hadn't really thought about: the Ten Commandments, the Creed, the Lord's Prayer, communion, and baptism, and talks about them in language that the everyday people of his day and of our day can understand. This is actually my catechism from confirmation. And I have another one that's a little bit newer now. But it's pretty simple language that you can understand. And so we're going to look for the next month and a half at the Lord's Prayer. And we're going to look at how Luther thought about the Lord's Prayer, which I think is also the way that the Lord's Prayer relates back to Scripture. But this morning, I'd like to just look at the way that Jesus prayed and the way that Luther, in his small catechism and throughout his teachings, really looked back and reformed the way that people thought about prayer. So to begin with, I just wanted to bring back a couple of people that have been conspicuously absent for a little while, Sven and Ole. So just to remind you of them. So during the minister's prayer one Sunday morning, there was a loud whistle from the pew in the front row. It was little Ole. His mother, Olga, beside him was horrified. So she pinched him into silence. After church, she asked, "Ole, whatever made you do such a thing?" And Ole answered gingerly, "I asked God to teach me to whistle, and he just did it." And then, of course, there was little Sven. Little Sven had been misbehaving badly and was sent to his room. After a while, he emerged and informed his mother, Lena, that he had thought it over and then said a prayer. "Fine," said Lena. "If you ask God to help you not to misbehave, he will help you." "Oh," said Sven, "I didn't ask him to help me not to misbehave. I asked him to help you put up with me." Prayer can be a powerful thing. Now, during Luther's day, there were a few misconceptions about prayer that were badly in need of reform. Number one, people in the day of Luther believed that God was so almighty and so perfect and so beyond human comprehension that we could never pray directly to God. And so during Luther's day, many people prayed directly to saints and the Virgin Mary, and the idea of praying to God was almost unheard of. During Luther's day, people were taught that God would only listen to the prayers of people who had become righteous, usually meaning of their own accord, that you had to be so holy before God would even listen to you. During Luther's day, praying was considered a work of great piety. It was considered something worthy of merit. And so if you wanted to earn your way to heaven, one of the ways you could do that was by praying a lot. Prayer was valued if it was repetitive prayer in the Middle Ages. People thought of praying as something you did by repeating the words of somebody else's prayer, with the idea that those people were so holy that some of their holiness would rub off on you if you used their words. And so you just repeated the words over and over. And finally, during the Middle Ages, prayer was really thought of as the thing that those clerics did, the things that the priests and monks did. It really wasn't something for the common people. Now, Luther recognized that all of these needed some reform, that none of them were biblical in any way, shape, or form. And he turned back to some of the lessons of Christ. The first one was something that we read this morning in the story of the tax collector and the Pharisee. The idea that the Pharisee went to pray, and really it was all about himself. He wasn't a humble man at all. He was vain and saw himself as elevated above those others. And his whole idea of prayer was simply to remind God of how good he was, how good the Pharisee was. That's not prayer at all. Jesus says humility is an important aspect of prayer. When we come to pray, we don't brag about ourselves. When we come to pray, we don't remind God of how good we are. When we come to pray, we don't come to pray to put down others. This last point is something that I would encourage you to really think about. There's been several times when I've been in a prayer meeting with other people where it seems as though the majority of the prayer has to do with other people's sins. Lord, forgive these people. Or Lord, show these people your way. Or some of that's okay, but you know, there's a point at which when we're praying about other people's sins that we begin to look like the Pharisee who has elevated himself above everyone else because he's feeling so righteous. It's not for show. Prayer instead, Luther said, was a personal conversation with God. a pure gift. Just as grace was not earned, but was a gift of God through the blood of Jesus Christ, the ability for us to pray to our Heavenly Father is a free gift that we are given. And finally, in the first story we read from our Gospels this morning, where Jesus talks about the man knocking on his neighbor's door asking for bread, we see that prayer matters. God wants us to come to Him in prayer. And He wants to be able to give us great things. Luther said, "Let us pray boldly and with confidence." He pointed out to his hearers that they shouldn't get all lost in contemplative questions or being overawed by the mysteries of God or wondering why it seems that God answers some prayers but not others, but instead simply be encouraged to be active in their interactions with God through prayer. He said, if God does not answer prayer, it's in the way that we hope He will, He will nonetheless strengthen our hearts and give us patience that we may endure suffering. We have a God who hears us. The next thing that Luther emphasized was the fact that we are to give prayer our full attention. He actually wrote one of his longest treatises on prayer to his barber. His barber asked him how to pray. And one of the quotes from his letter to his barber was about the attentiveness necessary in prayer. "So a good and attentive barber keeps his thoughts, attention, and eyes on the razor and hair," he said, "and does not forget how far he has gotten with his shaving or cutting. If he wants to engage in too much conversation or let his mind wander or look somewhere else, he's likely to cut his customer's mouth or nose or even his throat. Thus, if anything is to be done well, it requires full attention of all one's senses and members. As the proverb says, he who thinks of many things thinks of nothing and does nothing right. How much more does prayer call for concentration and singleness of heart if it is to be a good prayer?" Pay attention, Luther is saying. You know, this inattentiveness really sometimes reflects itself on some of the prayers that we have memorized. I remember one time when I was in high school, the youth in our congregation was leading the worship service one Sunday morning. And my role was to lead the Lord's Prayer. And I figured, oh, I have that memorized. I don't need to read it off of a piece of paper. And so when it was my turn to lead the Lord's Prayer, I got up and said, "Come, Lord Jesus, be our guest. Let this food to us be blessed." And everyone kind of giggled out there in the congregation. You know, sometimes we have these things memorized and we really forget what we are talking to God about when we don't pay attention to our words. So Luther talked about that too. He said, you know, it's not bad to have prayers that we recite. What's important, though, is that we think of them as models for the prayers that we just say spontaneously to God. So I'd like you to, if you have your bulletins handy, there's a place always in your bulletins to write some things down each Sunday morning. And since I don't have this on a slide this week, I'd like you to write these things down that Luther thought about when it comes to praying words that we already might know. Luther said that when you're looking at words that you already know, one of the ways that you can engage those words in your own private prayer is to think about them like this. Number one, instruction. What is God trying to teach you through those words? And we're going to be doing this throughout the next month or two with the Lord's Prayer, but Luther said you can do this with almost any words that you repeat. What is God trying to teach you? Number two, now turn that into a prayer, number one, of thanksgiving, and then of confession, and then of petition. I'll give you an example of how this works. And Luther was to his, this is again from his writing to his barber. He was talking about the second petition of the, the second commandment. The second commandment where God says, do not take the name of the Lord your God in vain. Now that's not a prayer, but Luther said you can even turn the Ten Commandments into a prayer. So you might do this, instruction. What is God trying to teach me? So the prayer might begin with, Lord, teach me that your name is holy and is to be revered by me. And then a prayer of thanksgiving. Thank you for giving me your name to call upon in every trouble and to praise you and give thanks. And then a prayer of confession. Forgive me, Lord, for the many times I have used your name like a throwaway word, and have mercy on me and patience for not thanking you each day and praising you for all your blessings. And then fourth, petition. Help me now. A prayer of petition is always a prayer asking for help. Help me now today to use your name in praise and honor. Help me to resist the temptation to throw your name around as though it means nothing. I bless and praise your name, dear Father. Amen. So that was the advice that Luther gave in taking those words that you might repeat over and over again. And the Lord's Prayer is a good example. The Apostles' Creed, even though it's not words from the Bible, but it's words from Christians throughout the century, that's another example of something that you can pray using this technique of Luther's. But Luther said we shouldn't just pray rote prayers that we might say together in church or in a meeting. We should be praying at all times. We should be praying when we are suffering, for sure, as the psalmist this morning did in the psalm that Polly read, and as we were encouraged to do because we have a great high priest by the writer of Hebrews. But Luther also said we should pray in the morning and the evening and at mealtime. And repeated that the Apostle Paul said, pray at all times, pray without ceasing. So begin that habit of praying. I really love the fact that our family prays before mealtime. And, usually I say, is there a certain prayer you'd like to pray? And sometimes when we're in a restaurant, and we end up doing the Superman prayer, it might be a little embarrassing. Do you know the Superman prayer? Thank you, God, for giving us food. Thank you, God, for giving us food. For the friends that we meet and the food that we eat. Thank you, God, for giving us food. And sometimes in the middle of a restaurant, that's a little bit embarrassing, but it's a good habit to have, to just pray before mealtime. Finally, Luther points us back to Christ, who at every opportunity, the Bible says, as the verse on the front cover of your bulletin, where Jesus took time to go find a solitary place, get away from the crowds, and pray. Throughout the scriptures, we find that in the morning, and in the afternoon, and the evening. Jesus got away from it all and went and prayed. Now, there have been times in my life when I have thought, oh, I am just too busy. But then I have to reflect on that a little bit. Do I really think I'm busier than Jesus was? Because Jesus was constantly healing people. Jesus was constantly teaching huge crowds. Jesus would be staying up late into the night to finish healing and teaching because the crowds were pressing in on him. Oftentimes he was exhausted. And then he would say to his disciples, okay, we got to go to the other side of the lake to teach them over there because they need to hear the word as well. Jesus was pretty busy. Do I really think that I'm busier than Jesus? Luther said this, I have so many things to do each day. I could never get it all done if I didn't spend at least 3 hours in prayer. I find that to be good advice for us all. When we come to God, Jesus teaches us in the first petition of the Lord's Prayer that we come to God as our Heavenly Father. And all that God expects from us is childlike communication. I was at home in one of our storage sheds at our house that we own in Nisswa, and we were cleaning out some bins of things, and we came to this bin of stuff that was, I think, about 5-6 years old. And, you know, it was just stuff that was kind of piled in there, and we had to sort it out, and we threw a lot of it away. But I found this, and this is a little heart that Sophia made when she was about 3, and it says, "I love you, Daddy." And it's little, you know, kind of 3-year-old writing, and it's got a lot of glue on it. This is what God expects from us. He doesn't expect big fancy words. He doesn't expect somebody else's words said over and over and over again. He doesn't expect us to proclaim our own righteousness. He expects us to live in the righteousness that we have because of Christ's death and resurrection on the cross. And he asks us to simply come to him and say, "I love you, Daddy." Amen.